back to our podcast. Today I am interviewing, or I don't even want to say interviewing, I'm talking to Megan Koudemanis.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Megan, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, of course. I'm like so nervous. This is like the most like insane interview I've ever been in.
But it's not an interview.
Okay, it's not an interview.
But it's just being recorded.
Yes, yeah. Never had this experience before.
Yeah, which is surprising because Michael has a podcast and he's had it since March.
Yes.
And he just never had you on.
I've asked to be on the podcast. He won't put me on it. So I got even a better gig with Victor.
Another gig. Well, you kind of filled me in with what you did earlier today, but why don't you just run back from the start of today?
Yeah, so I went Christmas shopping for all of my friends. I really need to go Christmas shopping for family. Yeah. But I get overly excited like giving gifts to people. Mm-hmm. And so went to Barnes & Noble, got a few things there. Went to Target, got a lot of things there.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to get to like buy things for people, and I can't wait for them to open it.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Are there any other places besides Barnes & Noble and Target that you'd recommend someone look for if they're looking for good gifts?
Honestly, I don't know. I think some of the best gifts, I was talking to Victor earlier about it, but, like buying books for people. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, cat is going crazy.
If you guys hear background noise, that's Carney, Megan's cat.
Yes. I think buying books for people is really great because you get to be really personal, while also you don't have to be creative while doing it. You can just find a book that you think someone would really like, like, my friend is graduating, so I was going to get her a book about, you know, what to do in your 20s and how to achieve great things in your 20s. Yeah. So just, like, things like that. Like, it's, you know, I don't know.
I don't want
like
you to reveal too much about your gifts, because...
I know. Well, good thing I didn't get that gift for her. Like, I found another book.
Oh, gosh. Okay. We'll pause this really quick. All right, we're back. Megan just ran and put one of the noise things Carney was doing into her room.
She just always has to pick the loudest toys at the most inconvenient times.
Yeah. But since we're talking about gift giving and, you know, I guess the Christmas season and all that, what is the best gift you've ever received? And what's the best gift you feel like you've given?
Okay. So... the best gift I've ever given, we'll start with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in giving than receiving.
Yeah.
So the best gift that I've ever given, it was me and Michael, my boyfriend. It was our year anniversary.
Oh, I remember this.
Yes. We were, so we're both obsessed with the Jonas Brothers, right? And they just came out with a new album, and we listened to it on repeat together for months. And they released their tour dates, and I go, wow, this is going to be a perfect year, like, anniversary gift to get us Jonas Brother tickets. Well, turns out, both of us were going to get Jonas Brother tickets for each other. So...
and they didn't tell each other that.
We didn't tell each other, but we, I kept telling him, I got you the perfect gift. And he would tell me the same thing. And I was like, wait, I just want to make sure that we're not getting each other the same thing.
Yeah.
So we both told his roommate what we're getting. He goes, all right, guys, you probably should talk about it. So he ended up, I got the tickets for the Jonas Brothers concert, and it was in San Antonio. And then he got like the hotel in San Antonio. And so we spent like a weekend on the Riverwalk, and we got to go to like this really great Jonas Brothers concert. And it was so much fun. I'm really into experiences and stuff like that. So I think that's the best gift I've ever given.
Yeah.
Even though it was kind of a combo gift. But the best gift I've ever received, it was again an experience. And my mom, kind of like backstory of my life real fast, just to get a premise of why this is the best gift I've ever received. My mom died of a brain tumor when I was 9. And so one of the best gifts I've ever received was whenever she had a good... Carney, stop.
Carney's messing with the microphone.
Whenever she has a good, like she had a good week or mm-hmm. something during her chemo, you know, there's always good times and bad times. So we went to Disney World.
Mm.
And it was when my mom was still going through chemo, but we all got to go like this really big family vacation. Mm-hmm. And it was the last like family vacation that I had with like my family.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the best gift I've ever received.
That's nice. Thanks for sharing that too.
Yeah, I know. I'll deepen, you know.
Wow. I mean, I guess if that happened to you at a young age, like your sister was born already. She was, mm-hmm. what, 2 years younger than you?
Yeah. Lauren, my younger sister, is 3 years younger than me. So my mom passed away when I was in third grade and Lauren was in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So what stinks is her, she doesn't have a lot of memories of my mom,
mm-hmm.
but because I was 3 years older, like I got 3 years more yeah. of memories with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that trip to Disney World mm-hmm. was one of those things that like Lauren remembers and yeah. which is something that she can like hold on to mm-hmm. too. So I think that was, another reason Lauren gets mm-hmm. to have some memories too.
That's
so,
good. That's good. Yeah. I guess, is Christmas your favorite like holiday, would you say, or do you have another one?
Oh, 1000% Christmas is my yeah. favorite holiday. Why? So, okay. Again, here we get Cincy again.
Yeah.
My mom passed away in January.
Mm-hmm.
And because my dad was a single dad, he had both me and my sister, and my mom was going through chemo. And whenever she was basically sent to hospice, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know this at the time, but everyone's like, oh, she's going to go live with my grandma. And I was like, okay, sounds cool.
Right.
And so Christmas was the last time I got to like spend time with her. And every Christmas after that, I still go to my grandma's house and like spend time with like my mom's side of the family.
Yeah.
And so we're all really close. I would say like my cousins are my best friends, which mm-hmm. is kind of weird. A lot of people can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was because of like my mom's passing, but I got to spend a lot of time with my mom's side of the family and family during Christmas time. And I think that's kind of the same for a lot of people. It's like a lot of family time
mm-hmm.
and some people hate it. Some people love it, yeah. but I love it. They're my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Get to spend so much time with them. I also have good memories of waking up on Christmas morning. You know, both parents are there. It's really an exciting yeah. time. So I think Christmas is for sure my favorite.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was just like wondering because I think especially when you're at a young age and something like that tragic happens, mm-hmm. maybe the other parent tries to shield you guys from it, and I guess maybe you don't find, like, the real reason until later,
because mm-hmm.
they're just like, oh, I don't want them to, like, know this right away. I'll tell them when they're older.
Yeah.
When you were younger, like, was there any sort of filter that they tried to, like, oh, like, she's just away, or...
So, it was, like, really weird. When she... So, she lived at my house for a long time
mm-hmm.
whenever she was going through chemo. And whenever, you know, usually when people are going through chemo, they get more sick easily and like, but they're still mobile and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But whenever we got to like the last couple months, my living room was basically like a hospital.
Okay.
So we took out one of the couches and we put a bed in there, like a hospital bed,
uh-huh.
the one that you can like,
yeah, tilt
raise and lower.
Yeah.
And so like that was my mom's like room, mm-hmm. right? And so but then once she started getting worse and they didn't want me and Lauren to see that, and mm-hmm. so then she lived with my grandparents. My grandma is she works for nursing homes. She's very knowledgeable on like hospice and mm-hmm. like all that stuff. And like I can't imagine how hard that was for my grandma, but they definitely tried like shielding us a little bit, and like they didn't tell me like at Christmas, my last Christmas with her, like, hey, by the way, like this is probably the last time you're gonna see her, you yeah. know. And so I wish that they were like a little bit more like transparent with me, because I definitely was old enough to like kind of know what was going on,
mm-hmm.
and I definitely knew that they were hiding things from me.
Yeah.
But my sister was in kindergarten, like she had absolutely yeah. no idea. So for her, great.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I definitely wish they were a little bit more transparent. And mm-hmm. I knew, like, whenever my dad told me that my mom had passed away, like, he mm-hmm. picked up me and my sister from school, took us home, like, sat us down and was like, your mom passed away this morning. And Lauren goes, what does passed away mean? I was like, I wanted to murder her. I was so pissed.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, for her, shielding her from, like, all of the bad things that were happening was good. But yeah. for me, I wish I got more. Mm-hmm. But, like, one thing my dad continued to, like, shield me from things was, like, and I did not know this until I was a freshman in college. So mm-hmm. he kept this from me for a long time.
Yeah.
But he had prostate cancer when I was in middle school.
Wow.
But the cancer word is, we don't speak about it
no.
in the house because obviously it's scary, right? Mm-hmm. And so, especially when my mom had just died from cancer, the last thing he wants is to tell me and my sister, hey, I also have cancer. Like, yeah. that's not... So he overcame that, but he overcame that by himself. So I was like, mm-hmm. damn, dude, you should have told right. me about it. I could have helped you out. Like, definitely, I was in, I think, like, 7th or 8th grade when this was happening. I don't know all the details because mm-hmm. I feel like it's been so long, it's almost awkward telling me now.
Yeah.
So, but I found out because we were at a Thanksgiving party uh-huh. and our... like, one of our family friends was like, oh, yeah, my dad has prostate cancer. My dad was like, yeah, like, when I had it, like, blah, blah, blah. I was uh-huh. like, I was standing next to him, and I was like, wait, what? And he goes, oh, yeah, I haven't told you yet. And I was just so angry. But yeah. so, again, like, shielding me from, like, mm-hmm. definitely, I wish that they didn't.
Yeah.
But I'm at the time, I think it was the best. They thought yeah. that was the best for me and my sister.
That's crazy. He probably told, like, other family members.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My other family probably knows all of it.
But yeah.
Of course, like, the cancer word, like...
You don't want to...
We don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's scary, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a wild time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for no, sure. I mean, I've seen you and your dad interact, and you, your dad, and Lauren interact, and it's really cool. You guys are just, like, super close.
Yeah.
And almost to the point where, like, it's like he's our age. It's like he's our age, and... You guys can crack jokes with him.
Oh, yeah.
He can go, like, shot for shot if he wants. Oh. Like, he'll just go out with us, and it's just so cool seeing that.
Yeah. He said he would rather hang out with high schoolers, or not high schoolers, college kids
yeah.
than people his own age.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely a kid at heart. And mm-hmm. I think even though, like, my mom passing away, like, obviously not ideal.
Right.
But because of it, me and my dad are super tight. And, mm-hmm. like, he's my best friend.
That's awesome.
And, like, me and Lauren are really close because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren's now a freshman here, as
yeah.
you know.
Yes.
So it's really cool that I get to, like, spend a lot of time with her mm-hmm. and get to see her not only, like, grow from, like, a little kid, but mm-hmm. now she's, like, an adult with
yeah.
me, so it's kind of fun, mm-hmm. but still a child.
Oh, yeah.
Babysitting her. But, yeah, we're definitely, like, a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
My dad comes up here, you know, parties with us. he just came to the last football game.
Yeah, we all got in the
yes.
car.
But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. He's
oh, yeah.
he's a good time, for mm-hmm. sure.
It's so funny seeing, like, him and Michael interact, too. Because oh. I feel like they're actually, like, so similar.
So similar. Everyone's like, you're going to end up marrying your dad. Well, I'm like, well, I hope not.
That's
like,
yeah.
so annoying. Well, Michael's pretty annoying, too.
Yeah.
So it uh-huh. works out. Like, they at the game,
mm-hmm.
like, me and my sister were like, he's so embarrassing, right? And
yeah.
then him and Michael are just, like,
yeah.
having a good time, laughing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, him and Michael, for sure, get along.
I like that. I like
yes.
that. I wanted to ask, so a lot of people kind of, obviously this is not right, like, this is not the right way of thinking, but they associate, like, the mom always being there for, like, emotional support
mm-hmm.
and maybe, like, the dad not being there for, like, emotional support as
yeah.
much. But for you, what was that like, you know, losing your mom at such a young age? And obviously you guys are going through different things and
mm-hmm.
maybe your dad doesn't understand everything you're going through from, like, a girl's perspective.
Yeah.
How is that like?
He is, you know how a lot of people are like, oh, he's a dude. Like, he would be a good dad for boys.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a girl dad.
Yeah.
Like, he was made to be a girl dad.
And
he is the most emotional person I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Oh, he's very emotional. Let me just put that that way. So that was never like a problem. Like I could come to him and cry, and I could come to him, and he would. He does this thing called toe poppers. He still does them. I'm an adult, okay. right? And he chases me around the house and pops my toes. Like he'll tackle me and pop my toes. So like he does his fun dad things, but he's also there for me. Like we go to church together. We pray together. We do like a lot of emotional things together. Especially because like even though like my mom's not there, my dad is a hella emotional guy, and so it like ended up working out, especially like having two girls, because he's so emotional. But like every time me and Lauren come home, he cries, and every time we leave, he cries.
Yeah.
And every time I gave Lauren my ID, so
I know. Like your student ID for like a meal swipe.
Meal swipes. He was so proud of me. He was so proud of me and my sister. He goes, I'm so proud of you guys for just, like, you're there for each other. And I'm like, talk to them. And so, I don't know. It's just, it's, I don't think that was ever a problem. And, like, for some dads, they're very, like, I haven't cried in front of my children ever.
Yeah.
My dad, on the other hand, cries in front of me every time I see him. So, it's. I'm not saying he's over emotional, but just the fact that I think what makes men manly is to be able to show their emotions and like accept them and like all this stuff. And he definitely does that. And the past few years in college, I've struggled really, really a lot with anxiety and depression. Mechanical engineering sucks.
We'll get into that.
And so, but when I told my dad about it, it was very much like, I'm so proud of you for, like, knowing that that's the problem and, like, trying to seek help. Like, it wasn't like,
Just suck it up, I don't understand.
Yeah, it was, I will do everything to help you. I will fund everything that you need me to fund. Like, what do you need? And I will help you. And so, great guy. Yeah. Love the dude.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger, I was always told, like, guys don't cry, obviously. Like, don't show your emotions.
Yeah.
Like, my dad's, like, not really emotional at all. It was always, like, me going to my mom for that. And so I was kind of under this impression when I was younger. I was like, I shouldn't cry, or I should just suck it up and just take the pain or whatever it is, right? And then I guess I got into college and I realized, you know, I'm not, like, that's not true. I'm super emotional. Like, I'll cry all the time. I'll cry over the stupidest stuff, too. I'll, like, cry over The Bachelorette. But I think that's really cool that, like, he's able to fulfill that.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously it's not, like, one person's role to do one certain thing.
Yeah.
But it's cool that, like, he's able to kind of be there for you guys when you need him. Even if, like, you know, I guess, quote-unquote, society doesn't expect him to be like that. It's cool you guys have that in him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really great that he not only can... We always say that me and my sister celebrate him on Father's Day and on Mother's Day because he said he filled the mom role even when he didn't have to.
Yeah.
And so we, on Father's Day and Mother's Day, we get him a gift.
I love that.
Yes. Yeah. He's a great guy. I couldn't ask for a better dad.
That's great.
Yeah. He's a pain in my ass. Great
guy. Yeah. Speaking about pain in the ass, tell me about your relationship with Lauren.
My sister. Okay. Here we go. Growing up, hated her. Like, my dad says that I treated her like an animal. Like, I didn't treat her like my little sister. I treated her like a pet that needed training, you know? And so my dad was always like, you two are going to be best friends later. And I was like, there's no way. Like, she's so annoying. And so, but now we definitely, like, she's grown up a little bit. And now that she's kind of grown up, like, with each other, it's really been great. And now she's, like, a young woman. Crazy. I can almost imagine her as, like, 7 years old.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, almost 20. So it's crazy that that's how it goes. But Lauren's really funny.
She's so funny. You guys are so alike. Like, in humor, at least.
Thanks. I
mean, I think you guys find a lot of... It's so funny.
She's a lot of fun to be around. She's what... Exactly who I was freshman year. Like, I had no care in the world. I was like, yeah, like, I'm going out all the time. And, like, having a good time. And sleeping in till 3 in the afternoon. And doing crazy things all the time just for fun. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's... I was definitely like free spirited mm-hmm. as a freshman. And so it was cool to see how she's going to end up being in the future and like what yeah. she ends up wanting to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that like, you know, my dad is a great role model, but I'm glad that like I got to be there for her as like,
her growing years.
Yeah. I got to like be I wouldn't say a mother figure because that's not, I'm only 3 years older than her. Mm-hmm. But I definitely got to be, like, the girl figure that she could look up to. So, mm-hmm. like, she's now at A&M with me. She just changed into engineering.
Oh, yes. Wait, from what?
She was supposed to get Gateway. She got Gateway, which is, like, a half entrance to A&M. Mm-hmm. But Gateway was canceled due to COVID.
Right.
And so we, so she was in general studies for the first semester, and then she got to choose what she wanted to go into, so she picked general engineering, and so...
Just make sure she doesn't go to mechanical.
Oh, no, I will not. She wants to go into ID.
Okay, so, ID's fine, yes. ISIN's fine, like...
Yes, I know, I told her, I gave her 3 choices. she said, number 1, ID, number 2, ISIN, yeah. and then number 3, education, and I said, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That'll do. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm glad that she's picking like a STEM route. Like I'm all for girls in STEM. Mm-hmm. And so I really am just like, and now she's in KD with me.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad I got to be her like transition. Mm-hmm. Like she's not as independent as I am. And so I'm glad that I get to be here with her when yeah. she's going through these mm-hmm. big changes.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. She's crazy.
Yeah, she is. Let's, you know, you brought up mechanical engineering and engineering and all that. Let's talk about first why you got into, like, why you chose mechanical engineering.
All right. Well.
It's probably the same story I've heard from, like, Lindsay and, like, same story with me.
Probably. I wanted to be an astronaut growing yeah. up. Right? So, my plan was, this was my middle school phase, right? I was like, okay, I'm going to go into the Air Force. Then I'm gonna do something engineering related or some maybe it'd be a doctor or something along those lines so that I could be qualified to be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. That was my path, right? And I was like, I'm going to be an astronaut. Then as I got older, I decided, astronauts do not sound very fun. as you can't really start a family. You kind of just like...
Float around.
you're gonna be in space for like 6 months at a time. Mm-hmm. And... It just does not, no. So, and then I was like, okay, well, I want to work for NASA then. I was like, how do I work for NASA? Mm-hmm. Well, you be an engineer, mm-hmm. right? And so that's kind of where it kind of all started. And then as we were deciding how to pick which engineering we wanted to be, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I don't really know what I want to do. NASA seems cool. NASA likes mechanical engineers. But if I don't go that route, I don't really know what I'm going to do. So I'm going to be a mechanical engineer.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate it. I found out I really hated it when it was too late. So yeah. I'm deep in it. About to graduate. Mm-hmm. So now I don't really have a choice. But don't really like design. Don't like engineering. Mm-hmm. Well, I like the problem-solving aspects of it.
Yeah.
But I don't like the technical. If I were to redo things, I would definitely do a more businessy route, like industrial distribution or mm-hmm. something along those lines, but not a technical gal, not yeah. a design gal, not a really anything gal. So yeah, but I picked engineering.
Yeah. I mean, it'll open a lot of doors. That's just like for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely my diploma is going to say she's not dumb. Right? She can learn things quickly.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much all I need is mm-hmm. to go to wherever I want to go. So, you know, as you know, I have another internship with Accenture, which is a consulting company. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm in their technical realm, but I hope very soon I can be put in their management stuff in more businessy aspects. And I feel like once I get into that door, then I'm free of engineering. I'm done. That's it.
I feel that so much, though. I even remember, like, my first semester of mechanical engineering. I was like, this really stinks, but, like, we'll try for another semester and see how it is. And then spring sophomore year, I was like, I don't know if I should change, maybe one more semester. And then by that point, it's you can't change.
Yeah, it's too late. Like, why? Yeah. Well, then I didn't want mechanical engineering to win. I thought if I changed majors, it won.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to let it beat me. So I think it definitely is one of those things where it's like, all right, you're smart. You can do it.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like after we can do whatever we want, Victor.
No, but, yeah. You just got to get through it.
Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. But it is nice, though, and I talked about this with Lindsay, but just having other people who are very, like-minded in mechanical engineering with us.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I feel like we all contribute something different but similar at the same time. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, we're there for each other when we take a test and we're like, did anybody else feel like they failed that test? And, like, 10 people like the comment or whatever.
Yes.
Or, like, those polls.
Yeah. It's like, how bad did you fail? Really fail? Oof. Or
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. But yeah, Victor, you helped me so much when we both Q-dropped fluids.
Oh my gosh.
I really helped when I was really failing and I was like, I don't think I could pass. Yeah. And then when three of my really great friends in mechanical engineering also feel the same way, and then we all Q-dropped together, it was like almost like a party. It was like, we were so much happier after we dropped.
We really were, and they had to go take their tests, and we were like, oh, we don't have that.
Yeah, we're like, oh, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though.
Like, we stuck through that, though, like, super late. Or at least, like, I know you probably Q-dropped maybe a week before me, but, like, we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I honestly don't know if I can make it to the end of this class. I'll probably still have to retake it, but, like, I'd never Q-dropped a mechanical class before because I always wanted to stay on track.
Mm-hmm.
I was always like, if I fall behind, that's not good. I need to be with everyone else.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, everyone else, like, majority of us are staying an extra semester at least.
Yeah.
And so it was really nice knowing other people, especially, like, in that fluids class. We're like, yeah, sorry, we're out. And that, like, table kept getting smaller and smaller.
It was funny, by the end of that class, there was, like, five people when it used to be we would fight over seats in that class. And then it became almost no one was sitting at that table. So it was definitely, I don't know, it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad I'm not graduating on time, especially after that class. I was like, okay, now I'm going to take things slower. Yeah. I'm not going to pack my schedule full of mechanical classes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add an easy minor. Let me just put on, like, engineering project management. Let me change things up to where it's not all technical all the time. I get to do something that I'm actually interested in, like project management.
Yeah.
And so it just, it definitely, in the grand scheme of things, dropping that class was a good thing.
It helped so much. Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have, like, just like you, kept packing my schedule and putting this pressure on myself that if you don't graduate in 4 years, like, you're not doing it right.
But really, almost all engineers aren't graduating on time.
Yeah, so it, especially mechanical.
Yes. Mechanical, oh, man. Don't recommend this. No. It's torture.
But in the process, you know, you develop this little squad of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so cool because I think first semester, I mean, I think just sophomore year in general kind of set up what we have, like, junior year, senior year, because that's when, like, we were all still getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. I know, like, we all had our, like, core group from free, and then people started bringing other people from different places, and I remember you being brought in by Michael.
But you added me into the group chat.
I did.
You did.
I did add you into the group chat.
You did.
I remember because you were at, like, tutoring with, like, Ellie for something, and Ellie, like, sent me a picture of you. And she was like, Megan just got added. Like, what do I have to do to get added? I was like, oh, shoot. I guess you can get added, too.
Yeah, then we just started adding, like, a whole bunch of people. And then now we have this big, like, squad of just, like, really smart people who actually hate mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
especially because I got to bring all of those people to my house to watch The Bachelorette. Yeah. And, like, do a bunch of fun things. And we always, like, go out together. Like, I just got a call from Jossie the other night. Mm-hmm. Like, literally last night. Hey, me and a whole bunch of the other girls are going to Northgate. Meet us there. And I was like, actually, I'm still kind of sick. So, like, no. But thanks for the invite. So, it's just fun because, like...
You can do other stuff besides school with them.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, then I think we really got... There's a huge group. 90% of them are weird in engineering, as you know. Like, don't speak, just kind of sit there and just do work. Uh-huh. Or, like, are involved in other things, but just don't make friends in their classes. And I think we got the group of people who actually want to be friends with people that they study with. Yeah. And so it's a lot of fun just to, like, we all suffer together, but then we also, like...
Have fun together, too.
Yeah. So... Yeah, we got a really good dynamic going.
We really did. I talked about this with, like, Lindsay and Kyle Kernut, but our Mean 222 table
was
so much fun.
Oh, my gosh. You got everyone on that table on your podcast.
Yeah. Kyle was number 2. Lindsay was yesterday number you're number 21. A whoop.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it that table... It was the first time I really got introduced to the free group other than Michael. And what was it? It was really just you, but you were friends with Lindsay.
Yeah.
And then we met Kyle. Mm-hmm. And man, me and Kyle love the kid. Slept on my couch like 2 nights ago. So great guy. And we went on like study abroad together. Mm-hmm. Me and Lindsay are really tight.
Yeah.
Me and you.
Yeah.
We've cried together in Zachary. Yeah. So definitely that table was like, I don't know. I really wasn't friends with a lot of mechanical engineers or like really engineers all together. I had a few really close ones like Nicole.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was the first time I was really like, damn, these people are kind of cool. Like, and we have a lot of fun. And then you just made fun of me the whole time because I was in a sorority. Like, sister.
I don't think we were making fun of you. I think we were just trying to get to understand what Greek life was like. We went to the house one time. You showed us around.
Oh, yeah. I showed you guys around. I forgot about that. And you played piano.
I did.
You did. That was a good time.
Oh, so you lived in the house sophomore year,
right? Mm-hmm, yeah. I did. So I think you guys were, like, dropping me off or something like that. And I was like, oh, my gosh, come in. And you go, oh, my gosh, this is the first time I've been in sorority house.
Yeah, it was.
But, yeah, it's being in a sorority is fun. But right now it stinks because of COVID. Like, none of the events are happening.
Yeah.
Because A&M loves to blame Greek life for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Even though... Most of the time, it is not Greek life because we're such in the spotlight and we're viewed as viewed as the bad guys and like a whole bunch of things. So, really, I have not done one single thing with KD this whole semester.
That sucks because it's your last one too.
Yeah, well,
not last, but
I have next semester and then I go alum. I only have 4 years of KD, and so it just stinks because like I made all these friends in KD and like. Now it's just, like, I don't do anything with them.
Yeah, you can't share anything with your sister, too.
Yeah, well, like, and my sister just joined KD, and I feel bad because she's, like, in this org but can't really do anything. And she's trying to meet people, but none of the events are in person.
Yeah.
And so it really stinks that this whole spotlight is being shown on Greek life when actually men's orgs and women's orgs are actually doing more, but not to... Point blame on anyone, but so it just stinks that like you know I don't get to do anything, but I really have loved KD in the past few years. So
yeah, what made you choose KD? Like, why were you drawn to it?
So I originally was like, my mom was in a sorority, and I wanted something to. I don't know necessarily how to, like, phrase this, but I wanted something to, like, connect myself with my mom, right?
Yeah.
My mom was in a sorority. I knew some of her friends who were in the sorority with her, so I was like, I should join, because I was like, what else am I going to do, right? And so I rushed, and my mom's alum, my mom's sorority that she was in, I did not vibe with them.
Yeah.
They were not my cup of tea, was like, okay, need to search elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So after I finally discovered, like, I don't want that, I just kind of looked around and I found that KD really had really authentic people. Mm-hmm. I know that everyone says that about their org. Yeah. But, like, they're authentic. They're themselves. But they're those people that don't know. They don't put on a show.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. When I walked into other houses, I felt like, oh, this is not how they are in real life. Like, this is
such a filter.
Yeah, there was, like, there was some, like, glitter thrown on everything. And I was just like, oh, this is not what I want. And this is not who I would see myself being friends with. I'm very much, like, a chill, like, don't really care what people think about me. I worked all of high school. I'm not one of those ones to be like,
I'm going to go out. Yay, then,
blah, oh my God. I'm like dumb, but like I love people's attention. Like give me attention. Like I'm not that at all. And so, went into KD and I met Allison Klein.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And, we started talking and we really hit it off. She is so fun, and we were laughing with each other. Like, I hadn't laughed during sorority recruitment. It was so serious, and like, what are your ambitions in life? And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm a freshman. Yeah. Like,
I'm not even in college yet.
I don't even know what I'm going to do next week. Like, and so it was really cool when I got to, like, talk to Allison. She was like, how is your week going? And I was like, honestly, I don't know. And I felt okay to tell her that I was not having the best time of my life. In other houses, it was like, oh my God, I love this. Like, mm-hmm. this is so fun. And I'm just like, I don't know. So KD was the first time I felt like safe to say that I wasn't enjoying myself during recruitment. And Allison's like, yeah, I don't really like it either. You know? And we just like really vibed. And she ended up being my big. Mm-hmm. So it really ended up working out. But yes, KD was one of those places that I felt almost like the people around me were more like me than other places. Yeah. So that's why I really vibe with KD.
And then you made a bunch of friends in there too.
Yep.
Like who? You want to shout anybody out?
Dominique. Love you, baby. then I'm living with KD. She actually ended up dropping later. Mm-hmm. But Brooke Atherton, I could kiss you. And then, just like, I don't know. Especially this, like, semester, not being able to see everyone, I've definitely lost touch in, like, a lot of, like, my distant friends, like, not my super tight ones.
Yeah.
And then half of them graduated, and so just, like, stinks, because, like, all of them are, like, old now and, like, have real jobs. Like, Allison's now in D.C.
Yeah, she graduated a while ago.
Yeah.
It feels.
And she even graduated late and was, like, makes me all sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a, I don't know, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Being in KD, I mean, I'm still in it, but it doesn't feel like it.
No, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool, like, getting to have you at, like, our table, especially since Lindsay, me, and Kyle, we had no idea anything about Greek life. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us had this, like, image of this is what a girl in Greek life is supposed to either look like or do. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not, you don't really see a lot of those in engineering, especially mechanical. Mm-hmm. And so we were just, and Kyle said this in his, like, podcast, but he was just like, you were just like an anomaly almost. Not in a bad way. It's just like, we just wanted to see, like, what was she like? And you're obviously super fun to be around.
Thanks.
You obviously care about school, which was, like, awesome to see too. Mm-hmm. And so of course we had it. Had to add you to our little squad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there isn't a lot. There's more engineers than you would think.
Mm, yeah.
But there, I don't know about girls. I know there's one younger than me, but
I know more in, like, biomedical.
Yeah, more in biomedical, more in, like, ISIN and, like, but there's a lot of girls in BIMS, or at least in KD there are. Mm-hmm. But there was me and one girl older than me who's in mechanical.
Yeah.
And so we have this, like, test bank, and I'm so excited for this test bank because we have these huge files, like this file organizer thing, and every single class, you can, like, search through every single class and look at all the tests in the past, and people will put their tests in there, and so you get a test bank of
That's everything. Good. Yeah, just to study for
it. Yeah. There's only one other mechanical engineer. So I just went straight to her and I was like, dude, I got nothing. Help me. But just having her. And then there was a lot of civil engineers too in there. But yes, one other mechanical. But now I know there's a few younger than me. Mm-hmm. So maybe we've got some other engineering girls in
That's
there.
That's good.
But, yeah, there's definitely not enough, mm-hmm. I feel like. Especially just like in engineering in general, like more girls need to be pushing for STEM and pushing for engineering, especially.
Yeah.
Because even though mechanical is the bane of my existence, mm-hmm. like I am very sought after because mm-hmm. I am a girl, mm-hmm. and not a lot of girls are in mechanical engineering. Yeah. And so just because of my gender, I know it's like horrible to say, but I really think the internship I got, like, yes, I'm qualified for it, and yes, I worked really hard for it, mm-hmm. but one thing that put me on top of the stack was the reason I'm different is because I am a girl, mm-hmm. and I think that, like, differentiated me from a lot of other applicants.
For sure, yeah. It's just hard because I know a lot of, even, like, just, like, TV shows or even, like, videos you'll see on different, like, apps, like TikTok or mm-hmm. whatever, always make subtle references about like, girls can't do, like, they can't be, like, an auto mechanic or, like, mm-hmm. all this, they're not meant for this. Like, there's a girl type of major to go into, and then there's a boy type of major to go into.
Yeah.
And it just sucks, because that's not true.
Yeah.
And, honestly, yeah, I know some guys who I feel like they should not be doing engineering, and then some girls, I'm like, you guys are really smart, you should consider, you know, but...
I don't know if you know this, one of my friends, friend/acquaintance, mm-hmm. friends with her on LinkedIn, have studied with her a few times.
Okay.
Her name's Logan. I don't know if you've ever. Logan. She's friends with Ellie.
Logan who?
I will find her last name for you.
I might be friends with her on LinkedIn too.
She has the number one GPA.
Okay, I saw that.
Of all mechanical engineers, or for seniors. Yeah. And that's insane to, like... I just don't understand why girls are so, hesitant on getting into it because...
You're capable of doing it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I don't like coding. I figure it out, though. And I don't like circuits, but uh-huh. I figured it out. And, like, I feel like that's... There's always something that you're not going to like in your major, right? Yeah. So might as well get a major that you can really, like... put yourself out there for the workforce and mm-hmm. really, like, have a step above other people.
Yeah.
Because, again, mechanical engineering degree just tells people that you're not stupid, right? And so it's like, all right, she's smart. Like, give her a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I'm full into girls in STEM. Mm-hmm. But, again, mainstream people aren't really into that. So.
I agree, yeah. Also, shout out Logan. I don't know who you are, but I saw your post on my LinkedIn homepage and I added you. But I read your post. I went through your LinkedIn, obviously. I was like, you are such a stud.
I know.
I was like just trying to imagine. I was like trying to imagine like what is it like to walk into every class and get an A?
And like I don't understand.
Like obviously I know like she studies hard and she works hard and everything. But like I study hard and I don't understand it. The only difference is she studies hard and she understands it.
I studied with her, mm-hmm. and I remember it took me, like, 3 times as long to understand it than, like, she did, mm-hmm. you know? But she was so nice and was, like, helping me study, and I was like, girl.
Love it.
You're amazing. But literally I was only friends with her, or just started becoming friends with her the last semester of junior year where mm-hmm. we ended up going into COVID lockdown. So didn't really, I only got half a semester like studying with her, but damn, now that I know she has the number one GPA and senior mechanical engineers, damn. Hey Logan, shout out, want to study with me.
Speaking of like just all like the studying and like all tests, GPA, all that. You mentioned about, like, you getting panic attacks and, like, mm-hmm. depression throughout college, and most of that's due to engineering. Obviously, I know, like, we've had this type of discussion before. Mm-hmm. Was that something that, like, once you got into mechanical engineering, you started experiencing, or was it like just throughout freshman year and like since then?
So in high school, I didn't know that this is what anxiety was. I just thought everyone experienced this, but like before tests, I would get really panicky and I would get shaky. And my dad said he noticed when I would take the SAT or ACT in the morning, I would sit at the, you know, our dining room table and I'd be eating breakfast. And I was visibly shaking. Mm-hmm. And he said he should have helped me then and like knew that it was anxiety. But I was like, we all didn't know at the time. Once I hit freshman year, I would visibly I would stop eating when I would get stressed. I would fluctuate 10 plus pounds from, finals week or midterms week to not that. Yeah. I would just stop eating when I was really stressed. I would have panic attacks pretty often. And it only, the longer I didn't deal with it, just the worse it got.
Yeah.
In Cal 3, I cried during my final. Mm-hmm. And had a panic attack during the final and was crying, but I had to still take it. I was in the middle of the final. The worst week that I got was it was a test week, and it was, when was this? This was junior year, beginning of junior year. It was a test week, and I had 4 tests within a week and 2 interviews for my internship.
Yeah.
And that week I was throwing up because I was so anxious. Mm-hmm. I had panic attacks daily. I was getting to the point where I would have a panic attack and then be panicked during the panic attack, thinking that I couldn't be productive for a couple more hours because I was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
And so it was spiraling out of control and I felt like I couldn't deal with it. And because of that, because I was so anxious, I closed myself up and was studying and only focused on school and didn't really consider mental health as a thing. And I started to fall into, I wouldn't say I feel like there are levels of depression, right? And I feel like I was depressed, but I wasn't I feel like a lot of people have it worse than I do. And I'm grateful that I didn't get to that point. But after that hell week that I had, I decided that I could not do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I went to see a doctor. I bought a book on anxiety just today. And so I'm still learning how to cope with it. I'm medicated for it now. Mm-hmm. Shout out medication. and just seeking help really it changed everything. I am so much happier. I haven't had a panic attack in over 6 months, which is crazy to think that I was having an anxiety attack almost every week.
Yeah.
And if not once a week, I was having them multiple times a week. Mm-hmm. And it was horrible. And I can't believe I lived like that for so long. And now that I'm not living like that, I can't imagine ever going back. Yeah. And so mental health is such a thing that people don't focus on, especially in engineering. It's very, very math. There's always an answer, right? But mental health, there's not. So you just have to I'm still learning and I'm still trying to figure out how to deal with things correctly. Yeah. And, but yes, engineering was definitely a tipping point. Mm-hmm. If someone's struggling with anxiety, I'm not saying don't go into engineering, but I'm saying it made mine worse. And so just learn how to deal with it. I recommend searching for mental health. Even if you think you're good, get some therapy or do something or read a book on how to make yourself better and how to make yourself emotionally. Everything about mental health is just so under talked about. Mm-hmm. I am today haven't had an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
I've almost had an anxiety attack, but I didn't. And a full day I was anxious because I thought I was going to have an anxiety attack, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. So it was wild. And I, like, I don't know. It was just, like, things have definitely, I've gone through the dark tunnel, and I definitely see the light at the end of the tunnel, yeah. And I'm, like, still working towards getting out of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. But, yes, engineering was the tipping point for me.
A lot of people, like you said, don't talk about it. I think my first time realizing that, obviously, everyone experiences, like, panic attacks and anxiety, like, they show mm-hmm. it differently. But the first time I ever even considered that I might be going through some, like, anxious times was, like, because you and Ellie would talk about it. And, like, mm-hmm. you guys would be the ones to say, like, I'm just going to go home right now. Like, we'd get to Zachary, and we were just about to start studying. And then, like, something would happen, and one of you guys would have to leave. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, okay, they're taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a huge priority, but you're just taught, like, finish this assignment, like, study for this test. Like, if you're not using every available hour to study for this test, you're probably not going to do well.
Yeah.
And everyone around you on the outside looks like they're just holding it all together. Mm-hmm. They're studying, like, nothing else is bothering them except what they're going to get on this test.
Yeah.
In reality, like, everyone has, like, these types of feelings to some degree, mm-hmm. And all this stress. So it's really cool, like, having you guys understand, like, what that was like whenever, I guess, mine came. My first time experiencing any sort of anxiety was, like, dropping fluids. Because mm-hmm. that was just, like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the spring, whenever, you know, I was doing fish camp and then mechanical engineering, like, that was just such a hard period because, like, I hadn't told my parents I was a chair yet. Mm-hmm. So, like, they just saw me struggling. They're like, oh, he's just struggling with school. But they didn't realize I was trying to, like, balance this other side of, like, fish camp.
Yeah.
And so, like, I wanted to tell them, like, I'm struggling because of this, but, like, I couldn't. And if I told them, like, I'm only struggling because of engineering, they would have been like, it's just school. Like, you have nothing else to worry about besides school.
Yeah.
So, like, having you guys to, like, kind of coach me through that. And I think, honestly, just let me know that y'all were there for me. It was, like, a huge deal because yeah. I don't think I had a lot of people I was, like, trusting enough to go to.
Yeah, well, Ellie was the first person that I could really open up to about my anxiety because a lot of my friends, like, again, everyone struggles with anxiety in different ways, but to the level that I was experiencing it, I hadn't met someone who was open enough to talk about that with me or who was close enough with me to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so when I met Ellie and we became really good friends, the fact that we were both experiencing panic attacks and I could help her through hers and she could help me through mine, just that relationship that I had, like, mm-hmm. I would not be where I am right now without Ellie. Mm-hmm. And, like, her dropping fluids with me and, like, mm-hmm. you being there too, like, just having those people around you and just, like, talking about it yeah. helps so much. And, like, hey, I'm struggling with this test, but also mentally I can't focus because I'm anxious. Like, just, like, saying that to someone and saying, like, oh, me too, mm-hmm. is just, like, you think you're in it alone. Yeah. You're not. And yeah. so it's really great, especially, like, in such a rigorous major like we're yeah. in. So.
And something I also appreciated that I think both you and Ellie did was if I ever was like, I just can't do school right now, you're like, don't worry, I'm making a study guide, I'll just send it to you mm-hmm. after. Mm-hmm. That would help so much. Because yeah. I was always like, I'm on this timeline, I only have like 6 hours until the test, but I don't want to study for these first two because like, I just won't retain anything.
Yeah.
So having kind of all of us be with each other, that helped so much.
Yeah. And like, yeah, just having us all together and again, those study guides.
Maybe. Yeah, those the yes. This is chapter one.
Yes.
And this is chapter. We draw a line here.
Yes.
This is, and you're like, in chapter one, they can only ask us three types of problems.
Yes, dude. we would get that so condensed. It was so good. And yeah. like, if I didn't have those study guides, like uh-huh. if I didn't make them, or Ellie didn't make them, mm-hmm. or you didn't make them, like. In some form of fashion, if we didn't all come together and put our minds together to make those study guides, would not have passed.
Would have been hard.
Would have been so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about those. In chapter one, these are the only questions that they can ask.
Yeah.
In chapter two, there's only two types of questions. It was so good.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a rough time, especially during like fluids and mm-hmm. midterms. I'm so glad as a senior now.
It's more like project-based.
It's so project-based. I have had I had more tests in my history class than all of my mechanical engineering classes combined.
Wow.
And so this semester I've had 3 tests for mechanical engineering and I've had 4 tests for history.
Wow.
And so I am much happier now that everything is not related to how well you can do in the next hour.
Yeah.
And rather it's how well you can do over semester with combined brains and collaboration.
Because that's what engineering is ultimately, is like collaboration.
Yeah. And it's not how much you can memorize. In the real world, you can Google it.
Yeah.
You don't have to memorize these long equations. It's exactly. So irritating. Yeah. But, you know.
And I guess, do you feel like with virtual, because obviously, like, with classes being virtual, lots of professors have made their exams either, like, open note or open book or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, you don't have to memorize all the little stuff, right?
Yeah.
That are honestly just, like, fast facts.
Yeah.
So do you feel like since school went online, like back in March to now, that maybe that's another reason why you aren't like as anxious, or do you feel like there's still the same level of stress?
So I think the open note tests,
mm-hmm.
I think that every engineering test should be like that.
Yeah.
I do not think that you, or even like, you know those tests that they would say, okay, you get one piece of paper, write everything you want on this piece of paper. That, just writing down those equations that you don't have to memorize, because I feel like I have a short amount.
Yeah. A limited amount of space in here.
I can't just store unnecessary equations. And once I can put that, like, away and not have to worry about those equations, it just got so much easier. I think that helped. But I also don't like taking tests in my room. Mm-hmm. I am very much like I'm a very location-oriented person. Mm-hmm. So in my room, I feel more relaxed in my room, but almost to the point where it's like, this isn't a test. Like, I'm just like doing another worksheet or something.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I've been trying to make it better. Like, I'll light a candle.
Mm-hmm.
I will, you know, I'll try to, like, set things up. My cat is crazy, though. So I always have to either get my sister to come over and babysit my cat, or I have to make sure I play with her for, like, an hour beforehand so that she'll sleep during my test. But other than that, like, I think that going virtual has helped the anxiety part, but also it's made it worse in other areas, like studying by myself and not being around people and... Especially, like, in our engineering building, we could walk around and, like, cause we were talking about this a few nights ago, how we could, our study breaks were, our bathroom break would end up being an hour because you would see people and say hi. And I feel like those social aspects, like, taking those away made my anxiety worse because it almost, like, made me more isolated.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and like, studying, too. You can't just go into Zachary or anywhere and just take a table that can hold 7-8 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like a really small group or just by yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pick someone's house.
Yeah.
And you have to like go there. You all got to set up, but it's like weird because it's at someone's house. You're on the couch.
Yeah.
Like it just, it's not the same. And so, again, and I'm very location oriented. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in Zachary, my thinking cap was on.
Yeah.
Like, and then when I left Zachary, I could relax.
Relaxing, yeah.
And so here in my room, like where I take my tests, where I do everything, where I do all my work.
Like you sleep?
I sleep there. And so whenever I'm in that room, I'm not off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so tests made it better.
Yeah.
But everything else, not great.
Yeah, I got you. I'm the same way, too. I totally, like, I see my room as, like, I can't do any work there. My bed is right here. It's, like, work and relaxing is not separate. It's just, like, a weird blurred line.
Yeah.
So, totally see what you mean by that. I guess, you know, switching from talking about engineering, let's talk about The Bachelorette. Let's talk about this most recent episode.
Yes.
Actually, first of all, let's talk about Claire. Let's go back to Claire.
Okay, we'll go back to Claire. We'll go back to Claire.
What are your thoughts on Claire?
Claire is like, I am the oldest bachelorette. I know what I want. I'm here for love. And it's like, shut up, Claire.
Yeah.
Like, you're here to be the bachelorette. You're not here to just, like, pick one person and then leave. Like, yeah. It just, like, was super irritating. And then she definitely was not completely mentally stable throughout the whole thing. And honestly, if I were on that show, I would not be either.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. There's so many people who want your attention.
You got to juggle all that.
You have to juggle so many different people. Like, and just, like, memorizing their names would stress me out. And so, like, I would not be on that show, number one. I just want to say props to her for even being on that show.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you go on that show, you have to know what you're getting yourself into. Yeah. And she definitely did not. Mm-hmm. And so she was just frustrating.
Yeah. And she just honed in on Dale, like,
oh, Dale.
Night one.
And night, yeah.
We thought Dale was great, too, in the beginning.
Yes.
Like, oh, he's a nice guy.
Well, I never had an issue with Dale. Poor guy had to propose within like a week. So, yeah, I feel bad for him. I guess it's going to be a really long engagement,
it's
right?
Cool, yeah. I mean, it's cool they're still together right now.
Yeah, but
time will tell.
Time will tell. So, but she met him and was like, I think I just met my husband.
Yeah.
Who in their right mind meets a person, like literally doesn't even have a conversation.
Yeah.
Just says, hello, what's your name? A pun here. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
See you inside. And then can say, they're my husband.
I know.
Does not make sense to me.
Yeah.
So, yes. And the whole house was on board.
I know. It was like such a cringy, I don't even know how many weeks she was on, but it was just such a cringy couple of weeks when we were watching. I was just like, okay, we get it. You're having all these conversations with these guys, but honestly, it only really showed her talking about, like, oh, what did Dale say? Or, like, what did this person say about Dale? And she just, I feel like she didn't treat the guys with as much respect as Tayshia is right now.
Yeah, I love Tayshia.
Mm-hmm.
Tayshia is, out of all of the seasons, I haven't really watched a ton of seasons of The Bachelorette or The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Considering that I host The Bachelorette at my house, I definitely have not watched it for as long as some other people.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I think I've watched, I think this is like my third or fourth season, so not like too long. But she's my favorite so far. Tayshia is what The Bachelorette and The Bachelor should be.
Mm-hmm.
Giving everyone her undivided attention, very much like, I don't like drama, like my intentions are real, like, and being super authentic.
Yeah.
A lot of those people, like, Claire was so focused on Dale that she wasn't giving anyone else the time of day and wasn't giving them respect and then wasn't authentic in their conversations because she was just so focused on Dale.
Yeah.
Now, Tayshia is so respectful to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like, I know it's sad that she sent Easy home this past week. Sorry, spoiler. But she wanted to have a one-on-one with him. Because she didn't just want to send him home with a rose ceremony.
Yeah.
She wanted to tell him why.
Yeah.
And she thought of him more as a friend than in a relationship, you know, way.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to send him home that way rather than a rose ceremony, which I find super respectful.
And as tough as that is, and as, I guess, as bad as she looks to, like, the audience members when you, like, dig down deep, that's really nice that you do that to someone.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that she respected him that much to take one of her one-on-one dates. I mean, she took one of her one-on-one dates to send him home, right? And so, but she could have spent that on someone else that she really liked.
Yeah.
But she spent it on him because she respected him so much that she didn't just want to send him home with everyone else.
Right.
So, really respect that.
Yeah. And I also like how before she gives, like, a group date rose or something, she goes around and, like, acknowledges, like, this was a good time.
Yeah.
I don't want you to think, like, our time was either nothing, like, meant nothing to me, or I didn't even enjoy what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know I appreciate it. I might, like, you might not be getting the rose, but you
I
left an impact
you.
On me. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So respectful.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, she is kissing every single boy.
Okay, is that, okay, this is the first season of The Bachelorette I've watched.
Really?
Is that not normal? I thought they were supposed
to. It kind of is normal. It just is, like, so weird to me because, like, if I, like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
I don't
feel
just,
like,
bad. Yeah, I would feel bad for the other guys, and so I would just, like, hold off on kissing everyone until, like, the end, yeah. you know? And, like, I would not just be, like, kissing people. But mm-hmm. if that's her thing, like, go for it. Mm-hmm. Not about the slut-shame thing.
Yeah.
I'm totally for it. If she wants to kiss all of them, go yeah. ahead. But there's no way I could do that,
yeah.
personally.
Let's talk about Bennett.
Bennett. My man, Bennett. He is literally my favorite person on The Bachelor or Bachelorette who mm-hmm. isn't the paid head person. I love Tayshia.
Yeah.
She's great. Bennett stirs the pot, but not in, like, a petty way.
Yeah.
It's very much like, I am superior. I know
yeah.
who I am, and I know who you are, and uh-huh. I am better than you.
Yeah.
And I just love it. It's so yeah. entertaining.
I like it, too, because I've obviously not seen a lot of or any other Bachelorette seasons, but I just, whenever I see someone stirring the pot, it's usually they just do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he commits to what he says.
Yes.
And as cringy as it might seem, like, to some people, it's just super, like, refreshing seeing somebody else be an asshole in a different way I'm not used to seeing.
Yes.
Like, he's super smart, and he's such a dick about being smart.
Oh, yes. Yes. And, like, I appreciate, like, he's not, like, would I be his best friend? Probably not.
Yeah.
Would I want him in my friend group? For sure.
Yeah.
With his chateau in Paris.
He was listening to the California place and
yeah.
the New York.
And, like, he's so, like, confident in who he is.
Yeah.
And what's funny is everyone else just loves it, too. Everyone else feeds off of it. It's
yeah.
not just, like, he's just, like, alone by himself. Like, everyone chimes in and thinks mm-hmm. he's hilarious. So,
yeah.
I mean, great guy.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
What about Noah? Do you feel like what Bennett said to Noah was, I don't want to say is right, but do you think Noah deserved that?
So, Noah, the youngest guy.
Young Noah.
Young Noah. He's literally not even three years older than me. So, like, if
oh,
you think
wow,
about it that
yeah.
way, he's 25. And so, and Bennett is in his, what, late 30s?
Yeah, like 35,
yeah.
36.
I can't imagine fighting for the same person against someone who's, like, what, almost twice my age.
Yeah.
And so, it's, I mean, I can imagine, like, especially, I feel like I'm very mature for my age, but there are a lot of people who are definitely not mature
yeah.
at our age. And so, if someone who wasn't mature got onto that show, and I were some 30-something-year-old, and there was this, like, I didn't even get along with my sister, because
yeah.
she was not mature. So, uh-huh. like, I feel like I would not act the same way. I would still try to keep the peace. But Noah probably, there's probably a lot of things that isn't filmed
yeah.
that Noah says that really irritates Bennett.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Noah's right by calling him out on national television, mm-hmm. but I think it's entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, it is for sure entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a good time.
It is
I love
a good time.
Hosting The Bachelorette at my house
it's
and having
so
everyone
fun.
Over and
yeah.
like, We're keeping it small because
mm-hmm.
of COVID
yeah.
restrictions and, yeah, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun just to, like, have people over and get to experience some form of, like, what it used to be. Because I hosted The Bachelorette or The Bachelor at my house
uh-huh.
last year. And so it was so much fun getting to, like, have everyone over again and to, like, do something somewhat normal
yeah.
in this time where nothing is normal.
Exactly.
So
thanks for doing that.
Love it.
I really appreciate it. I remember, yeah, I didn't go last year because just like a bunch of chair
mm-hmm.
stuff. But I saw you always sending out those invitations and I was
mm-hmm.
like, you know, next fall I'll be there.
Oh.
And
are you there? You are there.
Every week.
Yes.
I need to see. It's so fun watching with like you guys too.
Yes.
Just the reactions and the reactions are the best part.
Oh yeah. Michael will not stop screaming. That kid. Talk about pain in my asses. Michael is the biggest pain in my ass. Love
yeah.
the kid. Been dating for 2 years
yeah.
now. Great
why
guy.
Why don't you tell I guess the audience and me how y'all met?
Oh man. So Fish Camp.
Fish Camp.
Fish Camp, the best dating service Texas A&M has to offer. So we were first year counselors, which means we were We were selected as counselors when we were freshmen, and then we became counselors to freshmen when we were sophomores. Mm-hmm. So Michael and I met, and honestly, did not speak to him. Wasn't really friends with him. We were just kind of like in the same camp. We associated, like he was in the same major as me, so I was like, oh, I see you in my math class, but like, we never talked.
Yeah, that's
it. And then over the summer, we started like talking more and hanging out, and I was like, ooh, wait a second.
There might be something here.
He's really funny, and like, he's really smart. And one of my requirements for anyone that I am potentially going to date is they have to be funny, they have to be smart, and they have to be, according to Bennett, emotionally intelligent. And if you're not one of those things, like, it's a deal breaker for me. Like, I'm not okay with immaturity, and I don't want to be the smartest one in the relationship. And so Michael met all of those requirements. And so I was like, wow, he checks all the boxes. He's really smart. He makes me laugh. He really cares for other people. Really, like, selfless guy. I've never met someone who doesn't like Michael. So, like, I was like, how is he not the best one out there? I was like, he's great. And then started talking more over the summer. And then I started really having a crush on him. Like, I was like, wow, I, like, really like this guy. But because of we were counselors together, we weren't allowed to date or have any type of relationship. That wasn't friendship. And so basically I had a crush on him from afar. And what I found out later is he had a crush on me from afar. Heck so it was a good time. I, the beginning of sophomore year, his parents always have tailgates before every game. And so I met his parents. His parents really liked me. And I actually helped Michael move in to his apartment and his parents met me there. And I had a 30-minute conversation with his dad. Like, it was me and Michael's dad, and we talked, like, by ourselves for, like, a really long time. And ever since then, Michael's dad would, when they would be on the phone together, when Michael and his dad would talk on the phone, he'd be like, oh, how's that girl? Like, and so that I think that sealed the deal, right? Is his parents liked me. My dad met Michael. Dad loves Michael.
Obviously.
They're both children. So it just all kind of worked out. This is bad, but we dated in secret because fish camp, there was like a policy that extended until October. We dated in secret, quote unquote. We weren't being that secretive. We just didn't want it to be like
broadcasted.
Because I wanted camp again. Like, I wanted to get camp again. I wanted to not break the rules, so, like, I don't know. I just wanted to be respectful. So we dated kind of in secret. We just didn't really tell anyone. And we finally, like, told some of our camp, and, like, that was a lot of fun. And then our final announcement to our whole camp.
I remember this. It was the football game.
It was against Kentucky, and we got amazing seats. It was first row on the first deck. So we were like right next to the field. And the Jumbotron camera guy was like always next to me. And so I was on the Jumbotron probably like, I would say almost 10 times that game. It was crazy. And the way we announced to our camp that we were dating was we kissed on the Jumbotron. In front of, what, 100,000 people? So it was so much fun. Like, he's a great guy. Dating for over 2 years now. We have a little bit of planned future. So it's all good. Michael's great.
I love that. I, like, remember when you had walked into me and 222, like, one of the first couple of days. Obviously, like, you guys walked in together. You guys left together, like, maybe at the end of the day, at the end of the first class, like, first day of class. Like, you had just left, you're waiting for him outside. And I was like, Michael, who's that? And he was like, oh, the girl from my camp. And I was like, okay, all right, noted. And then obviously I saw you guys keep walking in together. And then I remember one time, like, you're actually, like, talking to somebody, like, one of the other mean people. And I was like, Michael, I was like, she's cute. And he's like, she's cute. And he's like, ah, he's giving me one of those. And I was just like, all right, just like, I want to see like where it goes. And
yeah,
he was so happy. And it was awesome. Kind of, y'all are like, I don't want to say like soulmates or whatever, but it's like super clear to me and like a lot of other people. I feel you guys just fit so well with each other.
Yeah. I feel like you can't be exactly alike in a relationship, but I feel like we're very, very, very similar in so many things, but then so different in others that we really like balance each other out. Yeah. And, I'm very emotional, as everyone on this podcast knows now. he's less emotional, but still has like, he can do it, you know, which I appreciate, but, yeah, so I just feel like he really balances me out in that aspect. I get overly stressed, and like when I would fluctuate my weight so much because I would just stop eating because I was so stressed. Really sweet. He picked up on it. I didn't realize that this was happening. I just like was like, oh, I just lose weight during finals, right? And no. I was like, that's a normal thing, right? It's not. And he would bring me lunch every day to make sure I ate.
Yeah.
And like, just sweet, like, things. He's, like, so thoughtful. Mm-hmm. He's allergic to cats and let me get a cat. So if that tells you what a great guy he is. But, yeah, he couldn't ask for a better boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do they call them? Life partners. but, yeah, he's great.
I love it. I love it. I was just going to ask you guys, or ask you, like, with you two being in, like, mechanical engineering, was that ever, like, I don't want to say weird, but, like, y'all are taking the same classes or, like, studying and, you know, you guys want to spend time together, but it's kind of like you guys are around each other all the time because y'all are dating and then you got school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was that like?
So, it was there was a big learning curve with that one because he is one of those people that can study less and gather and like retain information more.
Yeah.
I'm a person who needs to practice problems before I can understand a concept. Mm-hmm. He can do one practice problem and then understand a concept. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that way. And so it was frustrating when I would make those study guides and he would take those study guides. Like I would share them with everyone I know and, I would take amazing notes in class, and he would sit there and read it on all through class, and he would ask for me for my notes, and so I was like, okay, like, sure, I guess I'm dating you, so I can't not give you my notes, you know? Like, I was like, how does this work?
Yeah.
And so I'd share everything with him, and he'd get better grades than me on tests, and so it was so frustrating, because I was like, why am I working so hard, and
I have nothing to show for it, really.
Yeah, and then he's getting better grades than me. And so we worked it out. We study together for the most part. We do homeworks together. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to grind time on tests, I don't see him.
Yeah.
Because we study differently. Mm-hmm. He's more of a social butterfly.
Yeah.
When it comes to grind time, Michael's the one to, like, crack a joke to make everyone happy again, right? I'm like, I don't have time to laugh. Like, you need to stop talking. And so he just bothered. And we would get into arguments during test weeks. And, like, that was the only time we ever fought is during test weeks. And so that was when I realized we can't study together. And once we stopped studying together, and once I told him, hey, I'm not giving you my notes anymore, everything got better. We work really well together when it comes to, like, doing homework and doing, like, kind of, like, you know, quiz studying. We can do that together. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to grind time, we don't talk.
Yeah.
We coexist. We don't, But it's great to have someone who knows what you're going through. Yeah. And then, especially in, like, mechanical engineering, like, if I were in, let's say, education, and you were in mechanical engineering, I would be like, why won't you hang out with me? Like, why won't you spend time with me? Yeah. But now that we're both in mechanical, we both have the same times where we can't hang out. So that's nice. We have the same schedules. And then I understand when he's busy because I go through the same things. And so I think that's really nice too.
I like it.
Yeah.
Dang. I guess I gotta find a girl in mechanical engineering who
No,
just...
don't. Those girls are crazy.
Oh man. That's like so weird to think about though, is like, especially y'all two, since y'all have a pretty like solid relationship,
mm-hmm.
like what life is gonna look like post college. And obviously, yeah. I know you guys have like talked about it. You don't have to go into too much detail with that. But what is it like knowing that? Hopefully, obviously, I hope you guys like stay together.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are probably gonna work at different companies.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are both graduating at the same time, right?
Yeah, we're both graduating December of 21.
Mm-hmm. So with working at different companies, you guys also have to make that decision of. We want to work on a relationship still.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to work on, like, jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, does that scare you?
So, it originally didn't until senior year came and rolled around.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone started to graduate. And then everyone and their mom is getting engaged.
Yeah.
And we're just like... I don't know. Like, I always thought that I was going to get engaged in college. Like, that was always my plan.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing always goes to plan, so
right.
I don't know why I thought I could plan my whole life in high school. But my plan was meet someone sophomore year, which I ended up doing. Michael,
yep.
check. And then get engaged by super senior year
mm-hmm.
or senior year.
Yeah.
And I was like, but now that I'm almost there, I was like, I don't think I'm ready to get engaged.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I'm an adult. I still feel like I'm a child.
Yeah.
I, like, my dad still takes care of me. Like, how am I supposed to...
Like, take care of someone else.
Yeah. I definitely take care of that boy. But, but, like, just, like, getting married, like, that's such a big deal. And so we both agreed that, if we are to get engaged, it is after graduation, once we both get settled,
mm-hmm.
because the hardest transition is going to be from going to both being in the same major, you're being with each other all the time, to getting jobs separately and not living close to each other possibly,
yeah.
and a bunch of changes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get through those changes, then we'll be a stronger couple in the end,
mm-hmm.
and then we can get engaged.
Yeah.
You know? And so... We feel like that's our best path. That might not be the best path for other people.
Right.
But that's just kind of what we've talked about. And at first I was like, damn, now I gotta wait. You know, I was like, damn,
yeah.
I'm not gonna have a ring on my finger when I graduate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now that I think more about it, I'm grateful that
mm-hmm.
he thinks that, not only does he know that he thinks that we're gonna last past that,
mm-hmm.
but he wants us to grow within our relationship without having to deal with an engagement on top of that.
Yeah.
So it's actually, he's a very smart boy. And as
yeah.
much as I say that I take care of him, he also takes care of me.
Oh.
So
mm-hmm.
It's really great that he really put his foot down on that and was like, I want, you know, it's going to be after college.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense to me, but now that I'm almost there, I'm like, oh, this is scary. Like,
yeah.
graduating is so scary. Like, being on your own, like,
uh-huh.
paying bills. I don't even know how to do that.
No, same.
How do I, yeah, I don't know. And so, I don't know. So, it'll be good to, like, learn how to do those things together
mm-hmm.
and, like, grow together before we have to make that huge commitment.
Yeah.
Even though I've been dating him for 2 years,
yeah.
you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, so many people in college, and I think we're just in a bubble where people get married at such a young age,
mm-hmm.
and we see, like, seniors get married on campus,
mm-hmm.
like, do the whole, like, century tree and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like, you know, everyone's got their own, like, timeline.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own race, and just because somebody gets engaged at, you know, this time in their life doesn't mean... we have to, or
yeah.
you guys have to.
Yeah.
So it's good that you guys communicated that. It's just so weird because, I mean, obviously, I'm still single.
Yeah.
I'm still single, guys. Just putting that out there if you're interested. but it's just so weird because, like, for me, all I've thought about, obviously, I'm graduating, like, spring 22.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I've thought about is, like, the job searching and
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to be after that. But for you guys have just, like, that other layer. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's exciting, but it's also scary.
Yeah.
But it's good you guys have, like, talked about it.
Yeah. It's something that I'm really, I think the number one thing in relationships that a lot of couples don't do is the number one thing that I think everyone should do. And whether that is with your significant other or with friendships, is be transparent and communicate. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I have a problem with my roommates, before it becomes a problem, I talk to them about it. Like, before I explode because I'm so angry about it, right? I feel like communication and transparency is so important, and especially in a relationship. And so, like, with Michael, we, at first, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's crazy. Yeah. Because whenever we'd have a small argument, he would make us sit down and talk. And I was like, this is crazy. Yeah. I was like, I've never seen a guy, like, want to sit down and, like, talk through things and, like, completely get it off. So, like, now if we have an argument, we haven't ever repeated an argument.
Yeah.
We have once. It was my fault, though, so that's my fault. But, like, because we put it all out on the table every time we have, like, a small argument and we sit down and we talk about it and make sure that, like,
it doesn't happen again,
then I feel like that's how you grow in a relationship. Yeah. And so whenever I had expectations of, like, oh, I want to be engaged in college, mm-hmm. and he was like, oh, I don't have those, like, expectations. And so just talking about it, mm-hmm. and putting everything on the table, I understood why he didn't want to, and then I started to agree with him.
Yeah.
And so communication is key, people.
Mm-hmm. It's just scary, though, especially, like you said, your first time, you weren't really comfortable just, like, talking about it all, mm-hmm. because most people, when I feel like argument comes around, they say they want to get to the bottom of it, but they either just internalize it for a little bit, mm-hmm. or they just, you know, they make sacrifices and they're like, oh, the other person's right, like, I'm just gonna agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think it's important, like, any type of problem, you let it linger too long, it's gonna create more problems.
So we don't let it linger at all. Well, he doesn't let me linger.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can sit there and think about it for a while and then talk to him about it, mm-hmm. but he would rather us sit there and completely talk it out for whatever, mm-hmm. 30 minutes to an hour, and just both sides say whatever we want to say, mm-hmm. say it nicely, say it respectfully, no raised voices, and it always, like, we've never repeated an argument except for I'm being stupid sometimes. But he's great. So
great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Communication.
It's key.
Key.
Very key.
Kiki.
All right. Well, do you have Spotify?
I do.
Let's talk about your Spotify Wrapped.
Oh, gosh. Uh-oh. All right.
Wait, why?
No, nothing. It's just, mine's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I would love to hear about your top artists of the year, your top music.
Yeah, so my phone is about to die, but I can let you know.
Please do.
It's kind of entertaining. Okay, my phone just died. Actually, wait. Okay. My top artist is Dua Lipa.
Okay.
And my songs 1, 3, 4, and 5 are Dua Lipa songs.
Okay.
And my phone just died, so I can't give you very much more detail. Uh-huh. But love Dua Lipa. Me and my roommates listen to her all the time.
Yeah.
She's one of those artists that I feel like can't do wrong, but whatever. But I'm so obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. I can listen to her songs on repeat. They always make me happy and, like, make me want to dance. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like all my songs are very, like, hey, upbeat, yeah, we're going to dance, you know? But, yes, Dua Lipa. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the summary of my act. Okay.
What, like, genre of music is that?
Pop.
Yeah,
Dua Lipa is very poppy. Mm-hmm. You should listen to her, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I've, or maybe I have listened.
You probably have. You for sure have. Mm-hmm. You've definitely heard, like, some of her songs. Her songs are very, like, she has a few songs with, like, a billion listens or whatever. Okay. And so you've definitely heard her songs. Uh-huh. You just don't know who she is, but
yeah.
I'm obsessed. I found her really this year. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who she was, and then I heard one of her songs, and then I go, wow, really like this song. Went to the album, and I go, wow, really like this album. And uh-huh. turns out, listened to her, a few of her songs 50 plus times, yeah. according to Spotify.
There you go.
So I'm very obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. She's a lot of, I don't know, very uplifting.
Do you listen to her when you're studying, or is it just like anything besides like schoolwork you listen
to? So schoolwork, I listen to jazz.
Mm.
Yes. So I either listen to jazz or, yeah, pretty much just jazz.
Okay.
Or nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, if I'm in my room, if I'm in public, I have to have headphones in and listening yeah. to something. But in my room, like if I'm writing something, especially for like my history class, we had to do mm-hmm. a few like writing things. Or mm-hmm. like in my senior design, we had like a few reports due and stuff. Yeah. For those things, I can sit there in silence and do them.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very much, I need to listen to music all the time. Yeah. So I don't know how you are able to not listen to music, but I guess at home, I mean, as long as it's not loud.
Yeah.
It's just nice being yeah. able to hear yourself think.
Yeah. My my roommate, Michaela, has her Spotify Wrapped. One of our top five songs was the Mario Kart playlist.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Because she listens to it while she studies, because wow. she says she goes off when she listens to it.
Yeah,
so,
I've seen, like, TikToks that say that, about, like, listen to that. And I think because, like, it's video game music, and it's mm-hmm. supposed to help you concentrate.
Yeah.
That.
Because it's, like, kind of fast-paced, mm-hmm. but it's not, like, panicky either. Yeah. yeah. What is yours? I'm curious.
Who do you think my top artist is?
I have no idea.
Taylor Swift.
Oh my god, I was about to say Taylor Swift. I'm not even... Taylor Swift was my number two.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I love Taylor Swift. She was, yeah, my top artist. I was like, my biggest flex is I was the top 0.01% of her listeners, which was really cool. I listened to her for 24,000
minutes. 24,000
minutes? Yeah.
Do you just listen to her all the time?
So I listen to her when I'm studying. Mm-hmm. I listen to her when I'm driving, like driving. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the gym I'll listen to her. It just depends. Like, I obviously want to listen to upbeat music, but sometimes just a little good old, like, old Taylor will mm-hmm. really get me into it. But yeah, I listen to her all the time. Whenever someone, like, gives me aux, I'm like, you already know what I'm playing.
Taylor Swift.
So, I love Taylor Swift. I listen to a lot of pop. There's a lot of EDM on there, too. But mostly just, like, pop songs.
Yeah, I'm very into pop music. I thought I was, like, a country gal, yeah. but the more I've like started to get to know myself, the more I'm like,
nah. Country's nice though.
Country's nice mm-hmm. for sure, and I still listen to it, but yeah. I'm definitely more pop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Love Taylor Swift.
I'm glad. Yeah, I was so happy to see like everyone else's Spotify Wrapped, because mm-hmm. I feel like you just learn so much about people through their music.
Yeah.
And you see like, oh, like these of my friends listen to Taylor Swift, like. That's probably why I get along with them, is because we just have that shared artist.
Taylor Swift is my number two.
She's great.
That makes me so happy. Yeah. I saw her in concert when I was
what
younger.
What tour?
Sparks
Fly. Oh, that's such a good album.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it was like not, it's still kind of her country, curly hair,
yeah.
you know? Uh-huh. It was good.
So. I'm so jealous. I wish I'd seen her in like... her tour with that, or like her Red tour.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I was younger, I was just thinking to myself, I don't want to be around all these other girls. I'm a guy. I shouldn't be around like Taylor Swift because it's just a bunch of girls.
Oh no.
And now I regret it.
Yeah.
But well, I can.
Michael and I went to that Jonas Brothers concert.
Yeah.
Girls everywhere.
Yeah.
And Michael was singing louder than the girls next to yeah. us. Like the girls next to him were recording him because they thought he was so entertaining.
Oh.
And. So, you should have...
Oh, yeah. I mean,
hey, we'll
future
go now.
We'll yes.
go now.
I will be so down for that.
I'll go with you. Oh. My roommate, Brooke, uh-huh. is obsessed with Taylor Swift.
Great.
When I went to her house, mm-hmm. and we were all laying on the couch, like, about to fall asleep, we turned on her her concert on that was on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
You know, the...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And so, we watched her concert.
Oh.
And so, I was like... Are we really watching this, like, right before we go
to bed? Yep. Love Taylor Swift. All right. Well, we're going to end soon. But
okay.
Two more things for you.
Okay.
the first thing is I want you to think about like a lesson you've learned in college.
Okay.
And something that you don't want to forget. Like you want to tell what's like something you don't want to tell your future self.
Mm-hmm. Damn. This one's tough. One thing that I learned in college that my dad told me all the time, mm-hmm. it's not really something for my future self, but it's something for me now mm-hmm. and for, you know, people coming into college and like my sister, is college is the time you can be selfish mm-hmm. and it should be the time when you're selfish. You should, like right now is a time I'm learning about myself and when I really have no responsibilities other than school and for myself. And so, I don't know. And I feel like, okay, here's one. Okay. Mental health should always be on my mind.
Yeah.
Like I definitely, like when I start getting busy, I put it on the back burner. Right. And then it just makes everything worse. And yeah. so I think mental health should always be on my mind. But definitely right now, like right now is a time I can be selfish. And uh-huh. like I can put myself first and I don't have anyone else like completely relying on me. Like in the future, husband, kids, like pets. I mean, Carney, if my cat is the only thing completely relying on me.
Yeah.
But other than my cat, like I can do what I want and I'm like, I can be who I want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think yeah. college is a time you should be selfish and mental health should always be first.
Yes. Those are good takeaways.
Yes.
And then the final question is, if your identity was a pie chart, what would the categories be and what would the percentages be?
Okay.
And I'll keep track of it mathematically so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, okay, yeah, because the math would just really mess me up. Same okay. So my roommates make fun of me mm-hmm. because I take way too long of naps. Like, way too long.
Yeah.
So We'll just talk about my daily tasks, okay. right, as a pie chart, right? So, like, kind of what I do, yeah. right? So, say, just in a day, not necessarily night, I'm sleeping, mm-hmm. Let's say 25%.
Okay, so, 25.
Okay, now I got 75 left. Okay, so then playing with my cat mm-hmm. is about, let's say 17%.
17%.
Okay. Oh, now we got 58. Taking care of Michael let's say 22%.
22.
And, I go to Pure Bar, like, every yeah, single day. Uh-huh. So let's say Pure Bar is, 10.
Okay.
Oh, okay, 26. What am I going to do for 26%? Here we go.
Okay.
Thinking about food, eating food. Mm-hmm. Wait, thinking about food, eating food, or preparing food yeah. is the last 26%.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
That's my life. My life in a pie chart.
Your life is like in a pandemic, like you can't really do much else.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I work out.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Yeah.
I hang out with my cat.
Mm.
I sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really quick, actually, I guess this will be the final question. Tell me about like Carney.
Mm. So technically, she's my emotional support animal, and at first, it was just so that like I wouldn't have any issues with her like either housing or like flying and stuff like that. Like I'd always be able to have her like mm-hmm. without any issues. But as I've gotten her, she's actually my emotional support animal. Like mm. I am, whenever I think that something's the end of the world, like whenever my anxiety is getting bad and I think like whenever anxiety happens and I start spiraling, mm-hmm. she really helps me out of it. Like yeah. she is so funny. She has such a good personality. She is such a cuddle bug while also she wants to play like
yeah, all the time.
And she's crazy. So like in the morning, if I'm laying in bed for too long and I'm just on my phone, when I know I need to get up, mm-hmm. she pretty much knows, you know, and she'll start sprinting on my bed just in circles. And yeah. so it's just like so entertaining. And then she'll do really cute things like climbing in the Christmas tree, or like I have a puzzle laid out and she put a puzzle piece in her mouth and started sprinting, and I just had to chase her around the house to get the puzzle piece out of her mouth. So it's just like she's a light in this house, and like my roommates didn't realize how much they needed her too. And so she's great. She's super, I don't know, love her.
She's really nice. I've met a lot of cats. I have a cat myself. Mm-hmm. And my cat, I'm not allowed to carry my cat the way I can carry Carney. Like, my cat just wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
Carney's really nice.
I can't imagine, like, I couldn't imagine carrying a cat upside down like an infant. Yeah. Or, like, just slinging her around. Like, she doesn't care. As long as she has attention, she does not care what you do to her. Mm-hmm. And so, she's a lot of fun. Very cuddly, for sure. And lets you do kind of whatever. Yeah. And she loves people. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll have, like, at one point, for people with Bachelorette night, there'll be so many people in here, people screaming, and she'll still be sitting in the living room and just, like, jumping from person to person. Like, different people carrying her. She's so much fun. Yeah.
If you haven't met Carney yet, you definitely should.
Oh, recommend 10 out of 10. She's a great cat.
She's an amazing cat.
I'm trying to walk her right now. Training to leash
her. I would love to see that. I've never seen that
before. You've never? Okay, I'll FaceTime you next time take her on a walk.
Perfect. All right, well.
This was fun.
Thank you so much. This is actually the longest I've ever done a podcast before.
How long is it?
It is 106 minutes. So that's about an hour and 40-something minutes.
Damn.
Wow. You should
probably edit that.
It'll probably get edited down to like an hour 35.
Yeah. Do that. No one wants to hear me talk for this
long. No, they do, I promise.
No.
Also, this conversation is still going in. Just
okay. Well, bye, friends.
Goodbye. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.